For those of you who may not know, my name is Paul Gordon. It's a joy to be here today and worshiping with you all and have the chance to open up God's Word. For the past several months, I've had the pleasure of serving as the executive director for Terra Nova Troy, and so that's been a joy to be able to serve in that way. And today, my family is actually with me, which has not been the case much the past few months. When I'm here, I shouldn't say that. Anyway, we live in Williamstown, Massachusetts, as well. In case that's something that you didn't know, and I want to piggyback. I think it was on Jason who said Happy Father's Day, so I want to echo that and say Happy Father's Day to all the dads in the room. Happy Father's Day to Tori, his first Father's Day, so that's exciting. But I also want to recognize and say days like this can also be hard for any of us. In fact, 2 years ago, this very weekend was when we started sitting vigil with my dad as he lost his journey with pancreatic cancer. These days have a variety of moments for all of us. So I'm just going to pray real quick. Lord, would you bless the Arnesons? Would you bless Tori on his first Father's Day? Lord, would you bless all the dads in this room? Help them to reflect you well. And Lord, would you be the good dad that we know you to be and comfort those who for a day like today may be a bit harder. And it's in your name we pray these things. Amen. All right, so your guide page says we're going to be looking at 1 John. We're not going to be looking at 1 John because yesterday I got a text from Tori asking to fill in. And so, yeah, we're going a different direction. We're actually going to jump ahead and start our summer sermon series. But before we get there, I do want to encourage you. There's, I think, 4 verses left in 1 John that would have been today's sermon. And so I would encourage you, we're going to just let Tori, when he comes back in several weeks, kind of tidy that up and put a bow on that. But I would encourage you, read those 4 verses, contemplate them, study them, pray them, and here's some conversation kindling for you. I borrowed that phrase. I made that phrase up, actually. No, I didn't. But here's some conversation kindling. Which of the 4 main themes through 1 John, if you want to put the 1 John graphic up there, that'll work. So which of these 4 themes, love, light, obedience, or truth, has resonated with you the most as we've journeyed through 1 John since April, and why? And share that with each other after the service today. Which of those 4 main themes that Tori has been leading us through the book of 1 John resonate with you most, and why? That's it. That's all I'm going into 1 John today. So I get the opportunity to actually introduce to you our sermon series, our sermon series for this summer. Last week, Tori got to introduce you to, there's going to be 5 guest preachers over the next several weeks. Jun Ha, you guys probably remember Jun Ha. A lot of you might remember Jun Ha. He'll be here next Sunday. And Dennis will have a Sunday. Pastor Daniel from Terra Nova, Saratoga will be here in July. I'll be back in July for one of them. And then another pastor friend of ours in the X29 network, Rafael Mancandala. He's from Williamsport, Pennsylvania, the home of the League World Series. He'll be here in July as well. So Tori introduced you to the speakers. Allow me to introduce you to the series. This will be from now until the end of July. From the Overflow will be our series. August will be hymn theology. Tori and Dennis are going to pair that. They'll talk to you more about that as we get into August. But From the Overflow was a sermon series we designed in partnership with Terra Nova Saratoga as well. So this is what they're doing this summer as well. And the idea is this, that each pastor who's ever preaching shares passages that have personally impacted them in their journey and their walk with the Lord. Our hope is this is kind of like favorite verses, our favorite verses from last summer, but slightly different. And it's more than just interesting studies that pastors may have been in, but they're portions of Scripture that God has recently used to encourage or challenge or convict or shape or transform the people in these verses. In short, what we're hoping for is that whoever's speaking shares from the overflow of what God has been doing in their life through His Word. Make sense? Sound good? I hope. That's what we're going to do today, so I hope it sounds good. So, a brief intro, a change in preachers, Father's Day, a 1 John pause, a new summer sermon series. Whew. All right, you guys ready to settle in a little bit? All right, can I share a passage with you all that the Lord has been using fairly profoundly in my life for the past few years. It's Psalm 4. More specifically, it's going to be Psalm 4 and 5. We'll get there in a moment. Before I get to the passage itself, I want to ask you guys a question. Have you guys ever woken up in the middle of the night and couldn't go back to sleep? Am I alone? Quick hands. Anybody woken up in the middle of the night? All right, good, 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 good. Now, perhaps, has you woken up in the middle of the night and maybe, like, your body might be tired, but your brain just clicked on. Your eyes opened up and your brain just clicked on and your thoughts in your mind began racing. Am I alone there or no? No, good. All right. Thank you, Paul. You can be with me through here for a little bit. Perhaps your mind's clicking and going on because there's just work that needs to be done. You have a to-do list that's long. Or maybe, like me a few years ago, it was a hard season of life. And so when you woke up, your mind went right back into the hardship of the day. And it was running back to conflict or tension or hurts or pain points. 2 a.m., 3 a.m., whatever. This was me a few years ago. My mind, my heart would kick in, and I would begin replaying conversations over and over again in my head. Hearing afresh harsh things that were said or done. Wishing I had said this or I had said that. Or even envisioning a future conversation where I would get to say what I wanted to say or what I wish I would have said. Does that resonate with any of you? These moments? Okay. Maybe you wake up in the middle of the night. Maybe it keeps you from going to sleep in the middle at night. I don't know. Maybe you're just doing mundane things like driving or washing dishes, but this is where your mind is. It's racing on these things. It's fixating. Your mind won't relent. It won't stop rehearsing places of past hurt, questions, unknowns, conflicts. This is where I found myself a few years ago, really struggling to calm my mind, to settle my heart, and honestly, temper my anger. But the Lord brought me to Psalm 4, verses 4 and 5. And so I hope what the Lord has been doing, is doing in my heart through these verses may overflow and help you if you find yourself in a similar place. Psalm 4, verses 4 and 5. Be angry and do not sin. Ponder in your own hearts on your beds and be silent. Offer right sacrifices and put your trust in the Lord. This is where we'll be today. Margot, Elgin, I don't usually call my kids out in a sermon, but I have 2 points. They make fun of me because I always have 3. So there you go. Happy Father's Day to you guys. All right. 2 points to work through these verses. Make justice your sacrifice and trust in the Lord. Sound good? Okay. How did I find myself in Psalm 4? About 4 years ago, I went to a spiritual retreat at a Benedictine community for 72 hours, 24 hours of which were in silence. Now, did you know Saint Benedict lived about 1,500 years ago? And for the past 15 centuries, in Benedictine communities, they pray or they sing or they chant or they contemplate the same 3 psalms every single night. Now, I think there's power in that. That the same 3 psalms shape the end of every one of their days. For 1,500 years, they do that. What are those psalms? Psalm 4, Psalm 91, and Psalm 134. And so this piqued my interest when I was there as to why those 3 psalms? Why those 3 psalms for 1,500 years do they shape the Benedictine communities every night? So I started with Psalm 4 because, you know, science, and that was first in the numerical order, right? So I started with Psalm 4, but I'm 4 years down, and I have not yet moved on to Psalm 91 or Psalm 134 either. Began reading, began trying to memorize the psalm, began journaling through the psalm, just began contemplating the psalm. I made a Spotify playlist of Psalm 4 songs, began listening to that in the evening as often as I could. But I really just slowed down. I was like, one place in Scripture, Psalm 4. What is here that for 1,500 years people have chosen to end their day with this? Which, by the way, reading Scripture's great, obviously. But reading, like, it's not always about how much Scripture you read. Sometimes feel free to just camp out somewhere and plumb the depths of something for a long time and see what the Lord may do with that in your life. So, in slowing down in Psalm 4, I really honed in on these two verses initially, Psalm 4 and Psalm 5, and I began to ask several questions of the text, but especially these two questions. One, is it possible to be angry and not sin? That was one question, which may reveal something about what was going on in my heart. But I was asking that question. I knew I could do one or the other, right? But was it actually possible for me to be angry and not sin? Especially not sin against those who I was angry with. Angry with in my inner heart, my inner dialogue. That was one question. Is it possible to be angry and not sin? And what does offer right sacrifices mean? Right? How do I know if I'm making a right sacrifice or a wrong sacrifice, a good one or a bad one? Those were some of my questions. So to help getting after answering the questions, I began reading multiple translations of the psalm, which, by the way, when you're looking at the psalms, it's poetry, right? It's not on the nose, it's not direct. So reading a variety of translations may help you try to get the idea of what the poet was trying to convey in the words. And so I began reading multiple translations of Psalm 4. I'm going to read you a few of them. Offer right sacrifices. That's the one we read. That's out of the ESV. Here's some others. Offer the sacrifices of the righteous. Okay, that conveys a slightly different meaning or thought or feeling. Another one is offer sacrifices in righteousness. Another is offer sacrifices of righteousness. Right? And I don't know, well, if you have your Bible, what translation you might have, but there's a variety. Here's one of my favorites, by the way. Sacrifice ye sacrifices of righteousness. That's clear, right? Sacrifice ye sacrifices of righteousness. That one was like, I don't know. Moving on. But then there was this one, and this moves a little bit closer to a translation that hit me. And it was offer sacrifices of justice. Right? And then there was the one, this one. Make justice your sacrifice. That hits a little different to sit with that. What does that mean? So now my question wasn't what is a right or wrong, good or bad sacrifice. It was like, what does it mean to make justice a sacrifice? I'm not sure I've ever really thought about justice that way, right? So before we keep going, though, I want to define a few words for us, or at least how I understand a few words. First, I want to define the word sacrifice, but I want to just skip past that because this is a really important word to our faith. I've been learning from Krista lately, and AI is a gift, so I went to AI to ask it, what does the word sacrifice mean? Here's sacrifice according to Google AI, whichever one that uses. Sacrifice is the act of giving up something of value for the sake of something or someone considered more important. I think most of us probably get this. Sacrifice is giving up something of value for the sake of something or someone more important. And you can think about this in a number of different ways. A chess player may sacrifice a pawn for the sake of a strategic advantage in the game. That's one way to think about it. A person may sacrifice cash in their pocket to help somebody in need. That's another way of thinking about it. A person may sacrifice a free night in their week to help a friend. Right, it's another way to think about it. God sacrificed himself for the sake of us, who he considered more important than himself. These are all sacrifice, giving up something I value, giving up something I desire, giving up something that I have the right to for the sake of something or someone else considered more important. That's sacrifice. Good with that word for now? Okay, justice. So when it says make justice your sacrifice, Let's look at the word justice, another important word to our faith, because Micah 6 would tell us we should seek justice. 2 Thessalonians 1 would say our God is a just God. So this idea is a really important word. So allow me to define the word justice in relation to two other words. So I'm going to give you three words here. I think this is really helpful. These three words and these three definitions have really helped me over the years, and so I want to give these to you. It's justice, mercy, and grace. All right? Justice. We'll start with that one. Justice is getting what I deserve, or you getting what you deserve. Mercy is not getting what I deserve. Grace is getting what I do not deserve. All right, so let me just walk back through those. There's like slight nuances here. Justice is I get or you get what you deserve. Mercy is I don't get or you don't get what you deserve. And grace is I receive what I do not deserve. You catch the slight distinctions in all those? Really helpful, I think, to hone in on those things. And these words are core to the gospel. So understanding them, I think, is really important for us. Because mercy, like my sin deserves God's wrath. My sin deserves separation from God. But in Christ, we don't get that because of his mercy. Right? Also core to the gospel, God didn't only choose mercy, like not giving me what I deserve, but he has given us far more than we deserve. That's grace. Right? That we have this inheritance of eternal life. We don't deserve that. That we have a place with him and his people and a community to do life with. We don't inherently deserve that. And we have joy, we have hope, and we have purpose and satisfaction in life. All of these things are a grace of the gospel. God is giving them to us and we don't deserve them. So justice, not getting what I deserve. Justice, getting what I deserve. Mercy, not getting what I deserve. And grace, getting what I do not deserve. So put that aside, and then we're just going to take the word justice through the rest of the sermon, okay? Because justice, this idea of getting what I deserve or others getting what they deserve, this is where my heart and my mind were fixating. I couldn't stop me getting what I felt like I deserved or others getting what I felt like they deserved. I deserve different. I need to defend myself. I need to justify myself. I need to defend my rightness, if you would. And I don't believe I'm alone in getting stuck in a similar loop in our hearts and our minds. Right? So Psalm 4 and 5 invites me, it invites you, make justice your sacrifice. That sense of what I deserve, that sense of what you deserve, what others deserve, this sense or this idea so deep and strong within me that I am right. And others need to know that. Or I need to defend it. I need to justify it. Make that a sacrifice. Give it up. Lay it down. Offer that to the Lord. Does it make sense where I'm going so far? Because you, like me, may feel like you are deeply hurt, that you've been wronged, that you aren't being heard. You feel these things deeply. I'm not being heard. I'm being dismissed. I'm being demeaned, whatever. Lay it down. Offer it as a sacrifice. Because here's the reality. Our sense of being right and wrong, sometimes it's accurate. A lot of times it's not. And I don't say that to dismiss anybody's pain or whatever you might be going through. I say that to just open the door a little bit to two things. To insert into our hearts and our minds the possibility of whatever is you're fixating on and returning to and stewing on, is there a possibility that maybe you're not right? Maybe. Or perhaps your sense of justice is off. Or perhaps you can just slow down a second and stop assigning motives to other people's actions. Perhaps you can just begin to ask why and be curious about why others do what they're doing or say what they're saying. Even in my pain, in your pain, can we be open to the idea that we may not have it all right? I think that's a little bit of what it means to make justice your sacrifice. I may not know the whole story of what's going on, because in the middle of the night, this is what I would wake up. My mind would replay stories. It would rehearse conversations, past ones, future, hypothetical ones. And the Lord just began to nudge me. How do you know that your sense of justice is right? So I had to open up my heart to two things. One, I'm not the source of justice, and neither are you. At least I hope you're not. I don't know the inner hearts of others, do you? But he does. So what I give up or sacrifice, the posture of my heart that said, I am the just judge of these things. I know right. I know best. I see clearly. That was one thing. The second thing was, and hear me clearly here, because this is, the second thing was, even if I'm right, and I have been wronged, and justice on my behalf would be just, it'd be merited, it'd be legit, am I willing to give that up too? And sacrifice that too? Stop demanding it? Stop defending my right to it? This is what the Lord was asking for me. Will you give up getting justice, or give up being justified in your time and in your way? Listen, we will exhaust ourselves trying to fight for all of that on our own. Maybe God wants to invite you into that journey as well. And I don't mean to make it sound easy at all, but it's been a freeing thing. Not an easy road, not easy to do, but freeing to kind of just dial it back a little bit. It feels more like a way of living like Jesus. But I think it's really important here to connect the sentence, right? Because I don't think we can actually give up our sense of justice, give up our rights to it, without the second part of the sentence. Make justice your sacrifice and trust in the Lord. Don't miss that, because that's a really important thing. So that's where I want to go. I don't think it's a fair expectation for any of us to do the first part of the sentence without the second part of the sentence. When God asks us, invites us to give up our right to justice, he also invites us to trust him at the same time. And to trust him, we must know who he is. You don't really trust people you don't know. So to trust God, to receive that invitation, do you know who is asking you and inviting you into that? Who is this God? Let me just give you a few things. He's a God great enough to know all things. Just sit with that for a minute. He's a God great enough to know all things, includes the inner thoughts, the inner workings of every single heart of a human who's ever lived in all times. He knows all of it. I don't even know what's going on in my heart half the time, let alone yours or everybody's across the span of history. But God does. That's a massive thought. He knows all things. Jeremiah 17:10 says, I, the Lord, search the heart and I test the mind. Psalm 139 will tell you that he knows the inner workings of your heart. He knows when you're going to lay down or stand up or speak or whatever before you even do it. That's not an exact quote, by the way. And then we see Jesus in the New Testament embody that perfectly. How many times through stories of the gospel are we told that Jesus knew exactly what somebody was thinking or what was going on in their heart? So he knew how to speak to them and care for them and guide them. And this is more proof, by the way, that Jesus is God. You have all these Old Testament texts that tell you who God is, and then Jesus shows up on planet Earth and lives it out perfectly. You should be able to connect the dots. Oh, he's God, because nobody else can do that but God. God is great enough to know all humans perfectly, fully. That includes me, that includes you. Nothing that has happened to you or me escapes his knowledge. He sees it all. He's also great enough to have a plan that spans all generations, all peoples, all cultures. It's a restorative plan that, in the words of MLK Jr., bends towards justice. Deuteronomy 32:4 tells us, the rock, or God, his work is perfect, for all his ways are justice, a God of faithfulness and without iniquity, just and upright is he. Who is this God? A perfect judge. Perfect judge is who this God is. A great judge. But he's more than just a great judge, too. He's also a good judge, and don't miss that. If he was a great judge but not a good judge, dangerous. Really dangerous. If he was a good judge but not a great judge, well, maybe he's really compassionate, but does he have the power to actually do anything about stuff? He's great and he's good. Both of them. And he's the perfect balance of both of them. And because of that, he is the only one to trust with the weight of justice. Because he is perfectly great and good as a judge, he is the only one ever in all times to trust with the weight of justice. Not government, not a court system, not pastors, not anyone, and most pointedly, not me or you. We're not good arbiters of justice, especially when we are the wounded character in the story of injustice. You know that, right? We have to wrestle with that, I think, sometimes in our heart and minds. We are not good arbiters of justice when we are the wounded character in a story of injustice. That's okay. That's understandable. There's nothing wrong with admitting that. It just tells us we cannot trust ourselves, but we can trust him. Exodus 14:14. The Lord will fight for you. You need only to be still. The Lord will fight for you. You need only to be still. But over the past few years, I would wake up. I would return to my pain points. I would rehearse conversations. I would envision future conversations. My mind would be racing. It's far from peaceful. I didn't feel like the Lord was fighting for me. I felt like I needed to fight for myself or fight for others. I'd be lying on my bed, and in the midst of all this mental stuff, my anger would start to rise. And even in the moments when I feel like, as best as I can discern, my anger felt righteous or it felt justified, I know if I'm honest with myself and with you and God, even in those moments, my heart would tip over to sin at the same time, defending myself, demeaning others, dismissing others. The quiet words of my own mind and heart were leading me to sin against brothers and sisters. That's not good. In my musing, I would harden my heart. I would relish my harsh words. And this is what the enemy wants. This isn't the voice of our God. And so in his grace, the Lord gave me something I didn't deserve. A different voice to listen to help change the narrative of my heart that just called me to make justice your sacrifice. Give up my definition of right and wrong. Give up my need to be right or wrong. Give up the idea that I know better than God or anybody else. Make justice your sacrifice and trust in the Lord. So I think it's helpful. I think sometimes we shy away from this because we don't want to be overly prescriptive or make some things too much about the person speaking. But I think it's helpful to say, how? Because it's one thing to just call us to that, right? But I think it might be helpful, and I don't mean this to be prescriptive. I just wanted to share with you how. How did I walk in this? How did I move forward with this? And so what I chose to do, I don't have it with me. Most of the time, I have a little pocket journal I keep in my pocket. And so what I chose to do was I wrote out a prayer based on these verses, and I just made the commitment that whenever my mind, my heart would linger and drift too far into these conversations and musings in myself, when I could feel that inner temperature just begin to rise, I would take out a pre-written prayer and pray it to kind of help change the narrative of my heart, to like put a stop to this voice and listen to this voice and go a different direction. And now over time, remaining with that, this isn't like take these two pills, call me in the morning, you're good. Over time, a steady diet, rehearsing this, doing it over and over again, I really do feel like the Lord has breathed more peace, more humility into my life. And several years later, here's what's interesting, is now it doesn't have to be a circumstance that then relates to this thing that happens after the fact. The Spirit has now started to use this verse and this prayer often in my life, not just in the middle of the night, but in the middle of a conversation, like in a moment, whether it's talking with my wife or my kids or meeting with people. And it could be good situations, it could be trying situations, but when I feel the need to say something, or I feel the need to defend myself, or I feel just that initial prick of what seems like unjust statements, there's now an inner narrative for me. Make justice your sacrifice and trust in the Lord. And that just quiets the soul inside. It's a real-time sacrifice, not just something to help with something in the past. And this has been, honestly, just a far... Listen, this is not to say it's being done perfectly. My family's here today. Ask them. But it's a far more freeing way to live. And hear me, not free from pain, right? Not free from pain, because the person who lived this out best is named Jesus Christ, right? But he had this posture. He was willing to make justice his sacrifice and trust in the Lord. So it's not free from pain, but it is free from the weight of being the judge of everyone, being the judge of everything. This is the work the Lord is continuing to do in my heart. My heart was tilled up. Humble seeds were planted. I believe tender roots and shoots are growing. And so my prayer is that it continues to bear fruit in my life, and that maybe it might help bear fruit in your life too. Psalm 4, 4 and 5. Be angry. Do not sin. Ponder this in your hearts instead. Make justice your sacrifice and trust in the Lord. Let me pray. Father, thank you. Thank you that in a season of difficulty, a season of darkness, a season of feeling stuck in myself, I'm not sure I've ever said this, thank you for giving me these verses and these words. It's a gift. I pray the gift you've given me maybe also be a gift for somebody else in this room. Spirit, we need your help. We know that you've created us for this deep longing for justice, but you also asked for it back. And for us to lay it down, and we just need your strength to do that, your humility to do that. And so if there's a place for anybody in this room, my brothers or my sisters in Christ, that need to do that work, Spirit, would you give them the courage to do it, make the sacrifice, to cast their care, to cast their concern upon you, trust in your plan, trust in your heart. Just need your help. Jesus, thank you for embodying this and modeling this way of living. It's my desire to personally and for all of the people in this room to grow more and more like you. Help us just take a faithful step in that direction and keep taking steps over the days to come. It's in your name we pray. Amen.